In your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. What a joy it is for me to be here again and to have fellowship with you in the Gospel. We rejoiced having the fellowship just recently at the week of prayer, and I did not have an opportunity to thank you all publicly for your hospitality, but I would like to do that. Certainly, it always is a blessing for us to be a part of the Lord's ministry here in Faith Free Presbyterian Church. It's been a delight for me to have been able to come down and to have any part in the graduation service of Geneva, and I thank God for the privilege and opportunity that He has given to me to be a part of that. And we rejoice with you in what God has done here. We thank the Lord for your ministry and your faithfulness and how you have aided the Church of Christ in many, many ways. And the Lord knows all of your good works. He knows all of the ways in which you have assisted the saints and have refreshed them. And we thank God for you and for your faithfulness. And certainly bring you greetings from our church in Toronto, from Dr. McClelland and the entire session and board and the congregation there. And we pray that the Lord would keep His hand on each one of you and bless you. I thank you all for your hospitality. We always enjoy it when we're able to come down. And I want to thank Dr. Barrett Jr. and Reverend Mook. Yesterday we had a lovely walk on a nice field. We enjoyed some very nice fellowship, and that was about the extent of it. Nice fellowship. But in the middle of that field yesterday morning, I just stopped, and I wasn't in the middle of the field all that often, but when I was there, just looked up and enjoyed the beauty of God's great creation, and to stop for a moment and ponder the greatness of our God and how good He is to us. And my heart was filled with joy as I thought again of His great loving kindness to us. What are we and who are we? We are nothing but sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. And yet in His great mercy, He has poured out His blessings to us. And you know, I often think that what will it be like for us to be in eternity with the Lord? And after, if we could use terminology of years, after a million years, will we ever become tired of what the Lord has for us? After that period of time, the Lord's storehouse will open and He will reveal to us more of His greatness, more of His bounty, more of His the depth of His being, of who He is. Our God is a great God, and we thank Him for all He has done for us, and we pray that He will bless us continually. We're going to read, please, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, from verse 1 down to verse 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples and said unto Him, Art thou He that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Could we pause, please, for a word of prayer? Father, as we come now to Thy precious word, we thank Thee for the blessing of being in the house of God today, for the refreshment it has been to our souls already. We thank Thee, O God, for this opportunity that is presented to us now to have Thy word open to us. And our prayer is simply that the Holy Spirit will come with power to shut away every distracting thought from our minds, and that we might focus our attention by Thy grace and power in these moments upon Thy Word and upon the Christ of God. Lord, we humbly ask Thee to work in us and work through us. Help us to see where we have not seen before. Take away the scales from our eyes. Take away the things that so often blind us from seeing clearly what is the Word of God for us. Lord, I ask of Thee to help me this morning, to fill me with Thy Spirit, and I may speak as the Lord's messenger in the Word of God. May there be just a word in season to every heart. And Father, for any who are listening, who are still unsaved, outside of salvation, having no hope, without God, without Christ, Lord, come near and speak to them this day. Whether they are in this congregation or listening over the internet, Father, use, we pray, the means to spread Thy precious word and save precious souls. Encourage Thy people now, we ask. Draw near to us, for we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On Friday night, I was speaking to the graduation, the people who were here, and I was talking to them about John the Baptist. God refers to him in His Word as a burning and a shining light. The Lord Jesus said of them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was prophesied in the Old Testament as the messenger that would prepare the way of Messiah. His birth was foretold by the angel. His life was devoted to the call and the commission that God had given to him. John was faithful in the presentation of Christ the Messiah, and he deflected the honor that would be given to him away to another. And he said those words that I was speaking of on Friday night, "Behold, he must increase, but I must decrease." His words were very plain and clear. They were not clouded with human complications. He was a man who spoke directly. He spoke clearly. And there is no way that you would misunderstand the preaching of John the Baptist. He was a man who had the commission and call of God, and he was devoted to the Christ of God. John was faithful in fulfilling the purpose that he had been given in his life, to introduce Christ to a lost and a sinful world, and he declared those words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." John was faithful, and he was also fervent for the Lord. He was on fire. He had a genuine heart of fire for the Lord. John did not have a painted fire which produces no heat, but he had the genuine fire of God in his soul. He loved the Messiah. He loved his Savior. And his joy was fulfilled when he saw the Lord Jesus receiving glory in his life. That brought him the greatest of joy. Is that, my friend, what brings you in your life the greatest joy? When you see the Savior magnified? John was also a fearless character, for he was able to stand to the Pharisees and rebuke them openly and call them for what they were. He called their hypocrisy. He called the wicked Herod an immoral being because of his marriage, which was actually the cause of him being put into prison and finally and ultimately losing his own life. Beyond question, John the Baptist was a man of God who stands among the mighty of servants for the Lord. But you know, the Scripture does not hide the humanness of people. The Bible records for us the foibles, the sins, the inaccuracies, the inconsistencies of character. And here, in this portion of Scripture, we find John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist, at a point of weakness, at a point of questioning, at a point of doubting, if you like, was Christ really the Messiah that was to come? Was this Jesus who he had seen and was preaching about? Matthew Henry, in his commentary, made it very clear that he believed that John was here doubting, questioning whether the Lord was really the fulfillment of the prophecy that he had come to speak about. And Henry commented that even in the lives of the best saint, there can be valleys of weakness and doubt. Even relating to the very theme of their calling and their strongest characteristic, that is the very point where they may be brought to doubt. Think about Moses. Moses is recorded for us in the Scripture as being the meekest man of all the earth. And yet what did Moses do near the end of his life? He struck back, losing control. He smote the rock. And that was the very point at which God judged him and would not allow him to go into the promised land. What about Peter in his determination to defend the Lord, and yet he drew out the sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, and yet it was very shortly that Peter denied the Lord. Elijah, in his courage against the prophets of Baal, and yet he runs from Jezebel, that threat. Spurgeon said, "All men have feet of clay." And he said, "All men at their best are at best but men." The Bible presents the truth about each character, and as one commentator put it this way, the Holy Scripture presents men to us as they really are. An ideal character has far less human interest than the actual portrait of a real man. And the thought that the saints of the Bible, who conquered in the fight and won the crown of life, were partakers of our sins and our weaknesses, is full of encouragement and help for us. Sometimes, my friends, we will observe that even the man like John the Baptist could go through a time of weakness and of doubting. I want this morning to not focus on the question that John raised, but I want rather to deal with the response that Christ gave to his disciples, the message that was to go right back to John. And I want us to see how the Lord unfolded that message to his servant. And I want you to notice, please, with me about the content of that, the Savior's message and the response that he had. Look in verse 5. The content of the Savior's response. He said, "The blind receive their sight, And the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Here was the great fulfillment of the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. And he was reminding John that these very evidences prove that I am who I said I am. And we have here the evidence of divine power. There are five different miracles mentioned here, all of them clearly evidenced by the public who were gathered around. Miracles are often accompanied, they often accompany the Old Testament prophets. And they came with a divine message. The point of a miracle was not to dazzle or to entertain people. The point of the miracle was to prove that the Word was from God. And so Matthew Henry commented again that miracles are therefore the broad seal of heaven, and the doctrines that are affixed to them must be of God, for His power will never contradict His truth. Nor can it be imagined that He should set His seal upon a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ did miracles more than any other prophet to remove any reasonable doubt that He was from God, that He was the promised and the fulfilled Messiah. Note in response to John's question, the Savior did not answer him directly. He said to the messengers that came, "Go and show John again that these things which ye do hear and see." And then he brought to them an Old Testament scripture. He brought to them the fulfillment of the word from both Isaiah in chapter 29 and verse 18 of Isaiah. It says these words, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, and the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Here was the very bringing to pass, if you like, the opening of the Old Testament Scriptures right before the eyes of the people who were there. This was the fulfillment. Christ was coming. The miracles that He was doing were being evidenced by those publicly. And in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Savior in a similar context is quoting from Isaiah 61 and verse 1, where He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that were bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The gospel message and the fulfillment of those prophecies were all culminating in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And here He revealed it to His servant John. But there was also in this the evidence of the preaching of the gospel, the glorious message of salvation. For the poor would have the gospel preached unto them. And here you and I, friends, fit in that category, in that camp this very day where we are. For we, in that sense, are the poor that have the gospel preached unto them. For our poverty is seen in the fact that we have no riches, no wealth, no righteousness of our own. And we come to receive and to hear the message that Christ came to preach and to fulfill. For the Lord Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Here, my friend, was the content of the message of the life of the work that Christ had come to do. And this was fulfilled, and He used that very message and theme to preach and to record that word unto His servant John. But I want you to notice not only the content that the Lord brought to him, but I would like to focus today specifically on this point. And it is on the compassion of Christ's response to John. The compassion of Christ's response. It fills my heart with a greater sense of the compassion of Christ when he spoke those words, "Go and show John again. Go and show John again." The Lord has compassion on the bruised reed and the smoking flax. He will not smother. He will not break. But the Lord, in his great compassion and gentleness, is kind toward his saints when they are going through the times of the deepest and darkest valleys, even the times of their greatest fainting fits and doubting periods. The Lord, my friend, is the God of compassion, the God of mercy, the God of kindness. And perhaps I'm talking to someone today and you have grown very weak in your walk with the Lord. You have grown perhaps very weak in your stand for righteousness to such a degree that maybe you're saying, what is really the point of going on? Or maybe I'm finding it very difficult to progress and go on. His presence, maybe not as real with you at once it was. Your present circumstances have drawn a curtain across your spirit, and the light is neither coming in, nor is there any view going out. It seems very dark. What word does the Lord have for you today? Go and show my servant again. Show my servant again. You see, doubt will lead us to question confirmed and obvious truths. Things that we have proved by our own experience, things we have proved by the Word of God, the witness of others around us. Doubt is to a God-fearing man the most debilitating, for when he is overcome by it, we cannot even do the very least of ministries. At that point, as John was doubting whether Christ was the Messiah and this Jesus was the one that he had been preaching about, John could no longer witness for Christ the way he once did. For as soon as doubt comes in, joy goes out, confidence goes out, the assurance of the Word of God may go out. Is it not true that when we doubt, what we know is the truth, that itself becomes salt that is rubbed into the wound? And our own wounds become even greater. Was it not a very trouble to John the Baptist that the question was even rising in his mind? And I say to you, my friends, today, that it will be a great grief to you even to question the foundational truths and things that have been sure to you. And yet it is possible for you to doubt those very things and question them, and it will lead you to a point of despair. John Bunyan had many conflicts and doubts. He wrote these words, "Of all temptation I ever met with in my life, to question the being of God and the truth of His gospel is the worst, and the worst to be borne. When this temptation comes, it takes my strength from me and removes the foundation from under me. Though God had visited my soul with never so blessed a discovery of Himself, yet afterwards I have been in my spirit so filled with darkness that I could not so much as at once conceive what that God and that comfort were with which I had been refreshed. John Bunyan was saying, when I am in the deepest and darkest valleys, I cannot even rejoice in what God has done for me. I cannot even come to be refreshed with those great truths that once I preached. And that's exactly where John the Baptist found himself, and where you and I may well find ourselves. Are you questioning some of the old and established doctrines? Do you still trouble yourself maybe about the sovereignty of God and the salvation of sinners? The whole matter of election and predestination? Some of these great truths of the Scripture still causing doubts to rear up in your own mind? Do your doubts lead you to question the goodness of God in your own life? Because maybe some bad thing has happened. My friends, these things are very real to us. And they are very real in the life of the child of God. And it may be that all of your attempts to live right and to do right, you still cannot understand that why has this happened to me? Maybe some great tragedy or something has come across your path and really you're just completely in doubt, wondering why has God done this? What possibly could be the outcome of this? And that doubt will most certainly lead you to the point of not being able to work and to serve the Lord in the way in which you should. And this very doubting is the thing that can add insult to injury in your own life. I wonder if there are any young people here today. You've been brought up in the free church. And you've been cradled in the ministry of the free church. And yet it's a point of indifference in your life. A point of questioning or doubting. What about the standards and the doctrines of the Word of God that are preached from the Free Presbyterian pulpits? Is it possible that you are being brought to doubt those things and the veracity of them, the truthfulness of them? So much so that you're losing interest. And if honesty were told, you're not walking in fellowship with the Lord. And there may be great doubts and questions that have been raised in your own mind. The Lord has a word for you today. And the word is, go and show my servant again. Come back to the truth of the Word of the living God. Where did Christ take John? He took him back to the Word of the Lord. He took him to the prophecies of Isaiah, the fulfillment of the very thing that Christ had come to do. And when you and I are going through times of doubting, you need to come back to the Word of the Lord again. And to rest in that very place. For a person who doubts the Word of the Lord is only a short step away from denying the Word of the Lord. The hymn writer said, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. When we turn our eye of faith again to the goodness and the all-wise counsel of our gracious God, we will find Him to be filled with compassion toward us. The Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows, my brother and sister, every issue, every situation of your life, every trial and difficulty you're going through and everything that would even cause a doubt to be raised in your mind, and the word of the Lord will come to you again. Go and show my servant again. You see, there is something in this word again. It speaks to me of the patience of the Lord toward His servants. John, the great preacher, the great prophet, the one who had received so much from the Lord and so much privilege to be the one to declare, "Behold the Lamb of God," and to baptize the Christ of God. John had this privilege. And the Lord could have said to His servant, "John, I've already said to you as much as I'm going to say. John, you've already had all you're going to have. John, there's no more. Look, if you're not going to take the word and the evidence I've already shown you, there's nothing more for you." But that's not the grace and the compassion of our Savior, for He would say again to His servant, "Come back. Be reminded of the Word of God. In the times of your questioning, in the times of your doubting, the Lord is compassionate and He is gentle. He knows all there is to know about His servants." Ah, the Lord is so merciful to us as His servants. We are a blessed people. And the Lord has given for us and has done for us all that we need. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, what challenges face you? What doubts have overcome you? Somebody might be saying, "Well, are not all doubts sinful?" But the Savior did not rebuke John for his doubt, but He gently reassured him that this was the right way that he was to go. It's at this point where maybe some of you have heard the gospel many times, and you have been questioning and doubting. And it is that point where your doubts and questions can well become a sinful doubt or question. You look around you and you see the evidences of God's mercy and kindness. Look in creation, you see so many evidences, and yet the questions continue. And really the questioning is just a masking of your blatant hard-heartedness and your blatant unbelief in the revelation and manifestation of God. My friend, if you are without Christ here today, and those doubts that you have in your mind continue to raise up before you, don't allow Satan to distract you to the point where you use the very doubts as an excuse to carry on in an evil lifestyle or in just a carefree and a careless lifestyle. The Lord God is saying to you this day, go and show that person again. Come back to the Word of God. Look and see all the evidence there is to see of the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus and all He came to do. The compassion of Christ toward a stumbling servant, it is without measure. For the hymn tells us He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater, and He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy, to multiplied trials His multiplied grace. And that's what the Lord gave to His servant John at this time. My friend, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Have these doubts overcome you? Have you been set aside by reason of some debilitating circumstance? Come and hear the words of the Lord to you again. Go and show my servant. Go and show them the fullness of myself. Go and speak to them of the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, and put all of those doubts in exactly the right place and where they should go, and come to rest again in the preciousness of who Christ is, in the preciousness of the fulfillment of His own great truth. And oh, my friend, when you come to rest in that place, you will be able to go on. You will be able to rest. You will be able to accomplish and fulfill the great task that God has for you. And it's not to say that doubts will never return again, but most certainly when we are faced with them and we bring them to the Scriptures of God's inerrant Word, then we're able to place them in their right position and let us put them aside from us. For doubts will come, as Satan would love to cause these questions to rear up in our minds, as he did at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden to Eve, when he first of all questioned the Word of God, and then he denied the Word of God. Where are you today, brother, sister in the Lord? May you find your eyes and your heart turned with freshness again to the fullness and the greatness of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is ever compassionate to you. And His arms are ever open to comfort, to heal, to restore, to put back on track again. For as the psalmist said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him in his way. And the Lord has to take us and dust us off, put us up in the stand again, and carry us on the road to get going for His work and service. May the Lord undertake for each one of us today. And could I close this morning by exhorting you once more, if you have not come to trust in Christ, if you do not know Him as your Savior, may the Lord reveal your own wickedness before Him, your own sinful and corrupt heart, and there is only one remedy, that you might, in your distress and sinfulness and deadness, call unto Him, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. May God's hand be upon you. Let's close, please, with a word of prayer. Father, this day we give ourselves with freshness into Thy hand. We ask of Thee, Lord, to take Thy Word that has been spoken in weakness and use it to encourage the hearts of Thy people. Father, we ask of Thee to touch the very heart of that soul that needs that encouragement from the Lord today. Do, O God, what we cannot do, and when the words of men are silent, speak on, blessed Spirit of God. Convict of sin, we pray. We ask of Thee to stir up those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Stir them up by the awakening of Thy Spirit and speak to their hearts. Draw them to Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. Refresh us now this day. We pray that we might be kept in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.